नमोतस्से भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्से। नमोतस्से भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्से। नमोतस्से भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्से। As you all can remember, we started Brahmajala Sutta, which is the first sutta in the Dīghanikāya. And if I quickly summarize what we did last time. So at one occasion, Buddha and the Sangha was traveling between Rajagaha and Nalanda. It's a long path. And while they were traveling, walking, two other ascetics, one of them is called Suppiya, he's a wanderer, and his pupil is the Brahmadatta. They too are accompanying the Buddha, so they are also in the crowd. But Suppiya was criticizing the Buddha and the Sangha and the Dhamma, while his student, Brahmadatta, is trying to defend, trying to sort of explain the qualities, the good qualities. And this discussion keep going on, even when Buddha spend a night at other place, they too has taken the rest there. They are also that they are discussion continued. Suppiya is blaming or criticizing, while the Brahmadatta is trying to defend. Now, at that moment, the monks, the next day morning, they had a discussion telling how beautiful, how profound that Buddha has enumerated the quality of the people where they have their different kind of biases. Tena bhagavata janata passata arahata samma sambuddhena sattanam nanadi muktikata suppatividita. So different people have different opinions, different people have different biases, inclinations, and how well Buddha has explained that. So this was the kind of praise that the Sangha had for the Buddha. At that time, Buddha arrived at the meeting place and he asked, "What were you discussing?" And after telling that, Buddha actually gave a very interesting instruction here. When someone is criticizing Buddha and Dhamma Sangha, if you are unhappy, if you become angry, if you become resentful, then you can't properly understand what they are talking, and again you can't properly answer, and your mind become distorted, your mind become a sort of hindered, so it will be a downfall for you. So you should not become attached to what they are talking, and not you should not become angry. Rather, you have to carefully listen to what they are talking, and later, if opportunity arise, you have to properly say, correctly say, okay, these are not available with us. These are wrong things. Those are unfounded, ungrounded. So like that, you have to properly answer. On the other hand, when someone is speaking, sort of praising, so at that moment, if you are delighted, if you become so uplifted, elated, they are also you can't understand what they are talking, and they are also it would be a hindrance for your practice. So what you need to do is to maintain the balanced mind, listen to what they are talking, and if you got the opportunity, you can say, okay, these are correct, these are wrong, these qualities are available with the triple gems, these are not available. So likewise, you can do the proper analysis. So you can see Buddha as a teacher. So he had this moderation, or he has this calmness. He's able to maintain the tranquility amidst praise and blame. So that is one of his special qualities, what we call as a Thadi Guna, where he's maintaining that unwavering kind of mind amidst all that ups and downs of the life. So we all are going through that vicissitudes of the life. That is unavoidable even to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, or rather than we can say Sangha. So even at that kind of ups and downs, Buddha and the Arahants were able to maintain the balance. Now further, Buddha adds here, starting with his explanation, he says that when people are praising, they are actually praising me for some elementary or inferior matters, particularly about the moral practice. It doesn't mean that he has looked down the moral practice, but rather these are trivial, these are obvious. So Buddha not killing animals is an obvious thing. He not taking what is not given, not stealing is something obvious. He's not getting involved with sensual pleasures, sexual pleasures, it's obvious. So likewise, he keep on explaining the Chula Sila, where the short section on morality, all the typical precepts are there, explained, 10 precepts are there. And further than that, there are certain other things slowly get into the picture, which are relevant to the higher ordained monks, like not harming the plant life, not harming seeds, and not doing any kind of messaging from one layperson to another layperson, not carrying any messages, and not getting involved with sort of mean or low kind of science kind of occupations. So he keeps on explaining that the middle, rather the short section on morality, and then he keep on explaining the middle section of morality, which is an explanation of what we already discussed. So particularly about the seeds, how they are, which are the ones propagating their species. So those may be through roots or seeds or stems. So the monks are, or the Buddha is basically, does not destroy that. And people, the worlding would praise the Tathagata, the Buddha, based on that. So Buddha says those are trivial things. And again, the storing of goods and enjoying the stored foods, so that is something Buddha does not accommodate, and people might praise him for that. And he does not involve with dancing, singing, music, displays, recitations, fairy shows, acrobatics, etc., etc. And that is also something that people would praise for the Buddha, but Buddha says those are trivial, immaterial things. So likewise, he keep on explaining the morality, and so then we came to the large section on morality. So there are particularly various kinds of occupations, various kinds of, with respect to the high ordained monks, high ordained sila, high ordination. So there are not appropriate for a monk to get involved with. So certainly Buddha is also not get involved with such things, very much like forecasting palms tree, talking about the dreams, giving certain forecast about the dream, analysis of the dreams, and talking about the body marks, and certain other things like judging the gems, any kind of patterns in certain phenomena. So likewise, it keep on going, and whether predictions about a war, whether there's a war going to happen between two groups, two kingdoms, and two kings, who is going to win, who is going to sort of lose, are they going to take over. So likewise, certain predictions with respect to politics, with respect to administration, all that, and maybe about the climate. Today going to rain, today is not going to rain, there are going to be a tsunami. So likewise, various kinds of climatic predictions. And then doing some marriage arrangements, reading the horoscopes, that part of it. And those are all basic kind of below type of arts or below kinds of professions which are not suitable for a monk. Lay people may, of course, can get involved, doesn't matter, but not as an ascetic, not as a fully ordained monk. And further that, doing some sort of surgeries, giving some medicine, so that sort of things, and then doing certain sacrifices on behalf of some certain matter and trying to help the people. Giving them good fortune. So all are basically with respect to the sila, and people actually praise the Buddha for these things. But Buddha mentioned it is monks for such elementary inferior matters of moral practice that the worldling would praise the Tathagata. So you can see that even though Buddha has given a significant position to the Sila, Sila Samadhi Panya, so that is the three Sikha, the gradual training. And when people are praising him for Sila, he didn't consider it as a real praise. Now he is going to explain what are the sublime things, important things, if people can understand how Buddha has to be praised. Actually, the point is that people can't understand those things. Those are so subtle, so difficult to understand, so they don't have much idea about these things. So that's why they don't even know how to praise the Buddha. They don't know what a kind of a service that Buddha has done to these areas. Because these are fairly spiritual, fairly sort of into the views, into the ideas. And those are more into spiritual side. People, much of the people, large majority of the people are not into that. So they have their children to look after, wife to look after. Oh, they have to involve with their, say, materialistic goals, occupations, etc., etc. So they have these mundane things which are more important for them. They don't have time to get involved with some deeper spiritual goals or deeper spiritual teachings. So they don't know much about that. As a result of that, they don't know how to praise the Buddha. Buddha's service, Buddha's contribution towards that spiritual side is not known to many. Now he is going to explain how these spiritual people, after they get involved with the spiritual side, leaving aside the lay world, how can they become entangled in various wrong views. And there are such 62 wrong views explained here. Now, those can be divided into several groups. So we'll start with the first group, which is called Pubbanta Kappika, speculators about the past. Now, interesting thing is, after one becomes a monk or some other ascetic, so they have some time for their own spiritual quest. They don't have to spend time on raising their children or attending various other mundane day activity. So they don't want to plowing and getting involved with the occupation. So likewise, they have some time for their own spiritual quest. And so they start meditating and basically they develop a fair amount of concentration. So assume that there's a monk who given up all the all of his possessions, his spouse, relatives, and then he became a monk, and he's ardent in his practice and was able to develop jhana, master the jhana, and then he was able to attain pubbe nivasa anusati jhana. So that is the facility, that is the capability to recall past lives. So while recalling past lives, now he is thoroughing it, expanding it. He is now able to recall one birth. He is able to recall two births. He is recalled to, recall 10 births, 20 births, 100 births, 1,000 births, 100,000 births, many, many 100,000 births. So likewise, now he is keep on recalling his past lives. And it's also happening very vividly. So he can remember where he has born and what was his name, what was his clan, and then what was the caste and how he was doing, etc., etc. What was the food, how he has sort of behaved, every information. It's very much like we are rewinding the episodes. You have particularly at this particular life, but you are rewinding your past lives, previous lives, Now, each and every episode is now visible in a more spotless manner, so everything is clear. So he has a very good vision about his past lives. But the interesting thing is this keep on going, and there he come to a wrong conclusion, and he say the self and the world are eternal, because he can see he's coming from this life to another life, another life, another life, keep on going on, never ending. So he simply decide, okay, the self and the world is eternal, and you have no change, you can't do any change at all, and your will or your say intention don't have much impact. It certainly has impact on where you may be born, but things are rolling, never stop, it's eternal. And these beings rush around, circulate, pass away and re-arise, and this remains eternally, because I have seen it through my own wisdom. So this is how he proclaims. Now this is how the first wrong view arise, which is actually with respect to the past, and he decides, okay, things are eternal. Now there's another wrong view. There he is even capable, and he even able to recognize how this whole world system come to a destruction and then again re-arise. And so such kind of a contraction and expansion of this whole world system he was able to recognize. It's taking long, long time, but this person is capable of recognizing such periods of contraction and expansion of the whole world system. And two of such contractions and expansion, three of such contractions and expansion. So like keep going on, and he would reach 10 such contractions and expansions. It's a long, long thing, takes really long time, eons, but this person is capable. Now he can see that all, and there also he come to the conclusion, and he can see his own past lives. So he come to the conclusion again, thinking that everything is eternal. Eternal in the sense, particularly his life was eternal, and because it is rolling again and again, even when the world is destroying, again it is re-happening, reformed, but the life is continuing. So he decides, okay, life is continuous, eternal. So this is the second wrong view, where he come to a conclusion by seeing the contraction and expansion of this whole world system. Again, you can see it is based on meditation, by the way. First one also based on meditation, second one also based on meditation, particularly about the concentration. So the concentration is so powerful, he is able to develop the Pubbe Nivasanusati Jnana, recollection of the past lives, using which he is now recalling. Now he can even recall 10 contractions and expansions of the whole world system. Now there's another third wrong view. Actually, here also the difference is about the skill that this person has for the recollection of the past lives. So this person actually has even more capacity to go beyond 10 contractions and expansions, and he would stop at the 40 periods of contractions and expansions. So this is how things are divided, like, and Sangvatta Vivattani, Chattalisampi Sangvatta Vivattani. There are 40 expansions and contractions he was able to recognize. Again and again, he can understand, okay, how he lived, what he ate, and how was his past life, and who that he has accompanied. So all the details are available to him, And he decides, okay, life is eternal. Just keep going on. I have seen many 40 number of contractions and expansions of this whole system. Life is continuing. People are born from this to there, again come back, again reborn. It's continuing. It's eternal. So he comes to the wrong conclusion of based on that. Now that is the third wrong view. Now the fourth wrong view, it is not based on actually the meditation. It is based on the logic. So there is a person, an ascetic, he is a logician, a reasoner. So he can actually argue properly, he can actually think about properly, reflect properly, reason out properly, and based on his own inferential knowledge, logical understanding, line of thought, he argues the self and the world are eternal. And he has evidence for that, his own, based on his own ideas, his own views. So basically, he's a very good logical thinker. Based on his own proliferation, he actually come to a conclusion. So this world is eternal. And it is firmly set. There is nothing to change. It keep eternally going on. And these beings who are actually circulating in this whole system again pass away, again rearise, again pass away, again rearise, never ending. So he decides based on his own logical reasoning, okay, this life is continuous, this is eternal. These are the four ways Buddha say that the ascetics and Brahmins have become eternalists and proclaim the eternity of the self and the world on four grounds. And he basically concludes, apart from these four grounds, there is no any other complete eternity for someone else to define. So whatever the eternity, the complete eternity that someone is defining, is based on these four matters. And interesting thing here, Buddha basically concludes, this monk, the Tathagata, understands. So he understood how people come to this wrong conclusion. He understood how people come to this wrong view. And he further understood, having harbored these wrong views, viewpoints, what would be the repercussion? When they grasp this particular wrong view, when they are adhered to such wrong view, and this is the destination, this is how they are going to end up with having a sort of a place based on that wrong view. Such and such destination in another world. So they are not freed. They can't attain Nibbana. So their minds are fixated. And Buddha understood how they went wrong. And he also had the understanding about all the different kinds of expansions, contractions of this whole different world systems. He too can see his own past lives also, but he didn't attach to that Pubbenivasanasati. He didn't attach to that sort of a knowledge, and he didn't come to a wrong conclusion. He has experienced for himself perfect peace. And having truly understood the arising and passing away of feelings, their attraction, their peril and deliverance from them, the Tathagata is liberated without remainder. So Buddha mentioned, he has understood all this eternalist views, he understood. Based on what ground that they are proclaiming such view, he understood. And he basically detached from all that. He didn't come to a conclusion or wrong view based on all whatever such analysis. His mind is liberated. He understand the arising and passing away of feelings, even about that knowledge. And basically he was able to understand the sort of deliverance from all that. And so his mind is very much like freed. liberated. So the Buddha here mentioned, okay, these are in a way the profound matters, hard to see, hard to understand. People can't see these things. People might see only about this life. They can't even see the past lives. Even the immediate past lives, they can't. How about 10 past lives, 100 past lives, 1000 past lives, 100,000 past lives, many eons, many contractions and expansions of this whole world systems. So it's a vast subject. So people don't have such capacity. And even when someone has that capacity, how they come to a wrong conclusion. So that is where the problem is. So they come to a wrong conclusion based on those wrong data. And because they have limited capacity to see all this. And that is where the Buddha's wisdom highlights. So here he mentioned, basically, his wisdom is capable of understanding all that. He was able to understand all this, and basically he decides, so these are kind of limited views, these are wrong views. And he understood only this, people have some partial knowledge. Based on that, they come to the wrong understanding, wrong view. And Buddha, having understood all that, he was able to detach from all this. So since Buddha is detached, he was able to see the truth, see the realities. So his mind is basically liberated. And basically, so if someone can see the sort of profundity of here, profundity of Buddha's understanding at this respect, on based on this context, that is something to be praised. So you can see the argument here. So people have very limited understanding, even though they have some extraordinary capacity to see their past lives. Their understanding is very limited. Even though we are talking hundreds and thousands of past lives here, even though we are talking 40 contractions and expansions of the whole world system, but still it is something limited when it compares to the Buddha's knowledge. He understood all this and he is detached from all this. He didn't grasp this view, a kind of a conclusion, so his mind is liberated. So if one can appreciate the Buddha's teaching based on such profound understanding, so then Buddha say, okay, this is some fair ground to praise him. And then we come to another set that is called partial eternity and partial non-eternity. So we are going to different deep subjects here. Now we already discussed about the eternity, four grounds on that, where they simply say, okay, entirely the whole world system, whole life is utterly continuous, utterly eternal, never ending. So that is the four eternalist views that we already discussed. Now we come to another set, is called partial eternity and partial non-eternity. How that happens? Now actually you can see that how Buddha look at the whole world system. Buddha say there comes a time, monks, sooner or later, after a long period, when this whole world contracts. That means basically here it is destroyed. And that such kind of a destruction, so the beings are mostly reborn in the Abhasara Brahma world. So this Abhasara Brahma world is, we can say, the Rupi Brahma world, a fairly uplifted state of mind, jhanic level. As far as I can remember, I think it belongs to the fourth jhana. And it's a very long lifespan. And they spend there, So large majority of people are born there now in this Brahma world, and they dwell there and they have some extraordinary capacities, and they can create anything using the mind, and they are fed by delight, they are through their happiness, and they have their self luminosity, and they can fly through the air and glorious. So you can visualize, you can imagine such a capacity. Say you don't need an airplane to travel. you don't need vehicles to travel, so you can travel by yourself. You have your own mental power to travel, and you have your own glorious view. You can create anything, you can mind made anything, and you are emanating sort of rays, kind of light, and you are such a glorious kind of a person. Now you are living there for a long, long time. Now people are living there for a long, long time. And by the way, there's another empty Brahma realm is appearing. Nobody is there yet. All are in the Abhasara Brahma realm, but there's another Brahma realm. Nobody has risen there yet. It appears. And one being who has passed away in this Abhasara Brahma realm will be reborn in that empty Brahma realm. Now he is the first comer. He is the one who appeared first in this new Brahma realm. And he is again is a glorious person. He is again has all that capacities. He is now in a separate place, but he is alone. Nobody is there. He is the single Brahma. And he too is self-luminous, moving through the air, feeding on the light, glorious, mind-made. And he lives there for a long, long time. And later he feels lonely. So he wishes, okay, let the other beings also come here, so I may have a company then. So I can't bear this loneliness anymore. Let other beings also appear here. So he has such kind of a wish. Now, another being who passed away from the Abhasara Brahma realm, so he appeared in this new Brahma realm. Now, already that the first comer was there, this newcomer has seen this previous guy. And few more are again coming in. They all noticed the first comer. So the first come, that Brahma, basically has an idea, okay, I may be eternal because these beings are coming and they have short lives compared to myself. So other, say, newly come Brahmas, they spend some time and they pass away. But the first come, the very first Brahma, he is fairly long life and he can't see any change in him. So he see that others are coming and going. So basically he decides, okay, I am a Brahma, the great Brahma, the conqueror, the unconquered, all seeing. I can see the whole thing. I am the Brahma. I am the Maha Brahma. I am eternal. Now he come to the conclusion, okay, I am eternal. The other Brahmas also, they also conclude the same thing. Okay, this fellow was before us. And even when our group, someone of our companions are passed away, still this fellow is still there. So he should be the ruler. He should be the creator. He should be the Lord. He should be the maker of the world. And he's the appointer. He's the orderer. And we are, in a way, we are not eternal. He is eternal. And the interesting thing is, so that a person who passed away from that Brahma realm, now he is born in the human realm. Now this fellow became a monk or became some kind of a Brahmana, some kind of an ascetic, and he was able to develop fair amount of concentration, jhana, master the jhana, and he get the capacity to look at his past lives. Now he is looking at his past lives. Now he can see the previous life, how he behaved, how he lived in that previous Brahma realm, and there he noticed that Mahabrahma, he is eternal, but we are not eternal. We came back, we died from there, and now I am reborn in this human realm. But there is a person who is eternal in that Brahma realm. He is the creator. He is the creator God. He is the superpower. And he is actually the one who has created us. And he is the sort of all-seeing Mahabrahma. He is the conqueror. He is the creator God. Now he comes up with this view. So there is partial eternity and partial not eternity. So partially eternal in the sense that there's a Mahabrahma, the creator God, he's eternal, he's existing forever, he's the one creating us, we are not eternal. So this is the conclusion he comes up with, and he decides, okay, that Mahabrahma, that creator God, he created us, he made us, but we are not eternal, we are not permanent, but he is permanent, he is eternal. He is not subject to any kind of change. He lives forever. So this is the view this particular ascetic, this particular monk, or this particular whoever the spiritual guy come to as a conclusion. So this is another wrong view, which is partially eternal, partially not eternal. Okay, so that is the fifth one. Then the sixth one. Now, there's a Deva realm. Now, we discuss about the Brahma realm. Now, there's a discussion about the Deva realm. They are called Kidda Padusika Deva. Kidda Padusika. So, that means they are more into the enjoyment of the pleasures. And they are playing, they are involved with sex activities, and they are, you know, more into the pleasure, more and more enjoyment. Interesting thing is, they even forget to have their meals. they spend an excessive amount of time addicted to merriment, play and enjoyment, so that their mindfulness is dissipated. So they are not mindful. They can't remember, okay, at this particular time I have to eat, otherwise this body will decay, otherwise this body will die, because they have a certain kind of life, which is utterly dependent on certain kind of food. If they are not eating on that particular time, their body will pass away. So these people, these gods, celestial beings, since they are infatuated with this enjoyment, sensual gratification, they forgot it. They forgot to eat. And ultimately their bodies sort of dissipated. So one of them actually fall to the human realm. He born in the human realm. He's fallen from that previous Kidda Padusika heavenly realm. He's born here. Later, he became a spiritual guide. He renounced the worldly life. He renounced his, house, wife, etc., etc. Now he meditates. He develops concentration. He developed jhana, he mastered jhana, he was able to recognize the past lives. He was able to recognize or recall the past life. But the interesting thing is, he only can recall one past life. That is previous past life, nothing else. So there he come to a conclusion. Okay, I was there. I was too much involved with sensual gratification. So I went to a downfall. I couldn't have meals, so I died from there because I was not mindful, and now I am reborn here. I am not eternal, I am very sure about it. But there are celestial beings who are not like me. So they are eternally available there. So they are completely mindful, they are not involved with excessive sensual gratification, but there are such eternal gods available in that particular heavenly realm. So he come to that sort of a conclusion. So they are eternal, they are in a way long lived, but we are, and they are permanent, stable, eternal, but we are not. We are impermanent, we are unstable, we are short lived. And so he comes to this sort of partially eternal and partially not eternal wrong view. Then we come to the seventh wrong view, and that is again related to what we call a heavenly realm. It is called Manopadusika Deva. Previously there was Akkiddha Padusika, here it is called Manopadusika. That means even though they are heavenly beings, they still have some jealousy, enmity. So one of them have some enmity with another person, that also has an enmity with this person. So they are mentally corrupted. Even though they are born in the heavenly realm, they are jealous of each other, and that corruption of the mind caused them to die from there. So you can see it's entirely based on the karma. So when one is born in the heavenly realm, it's entirely based on the karma. So if they are developing, maintaining kind of a jealousy, enmity and that sort of defiled state of mind, so their karma quickly fades away, because they were born from there using a good karma. And again, their body is spontaneous, fairly dependent on the karma. So when they are developing sort of unwholesome state of mind, it starts deteriorating, ultimately the body completely destroyed or disappeared, and they die from there. And that is the person who now born here in this human realm. The same story follows. He renounced the worldly life, and he became an ascetic person, and he went through the jhanic practice, higher concentrations, and he was able to recall past life, just the past life, nothing else. And he understood, okay, I was unfortunately reborn here because I have maintained a corrupted mind. But there are beings who are not like me. They are eternally there. They are maintain a very good mentality. They are not envious each other. They are eternally, permanently there. But here I am not like that. So there are beings who like me who are not eternal. So he come to a conclusion based on that. So this is the seventh wrong view. Partly eternal, partly not eternal. Now we come to the last wrong view based on this partial eternity and partial non-eternity. So they are again a kind of a monk or ascetic person who simply here in this human realm, he's a thinker, he's a logician. And he come up with various theories. He can basically convince others. He can basically properly, logically think. And he mentioned, whatever is called eye or ear or nose or tongue or body, that is impermanent, that is unstable, that is not eternal, liable to change. That is obvious. So this is the body. This body is not eternal. Your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. So this is not eternal. This body will die. But what is called thought or mind or consciousness, that is a self, that is permanent, stable, eternal, not subject to change. The same forever and ever. So he has analyzed this body and the mind, and he concludes, okay, this body is not eternal, this is impermanent, but the mind is permanent, consciousness is permanent. It is eternal. Now he come to the such kind of a wrong view. So he grasped this view, and basically he comes up with this eternity based on his consciousness or the mind, and complete destruction of this body which is not eternal. This is the wrong partial eternity and partial not eternity. He comes as a wrong view. And after explaining all these four wrong views, Buddha further mentioned This marks the Tathagata understand. These viewpoints thus grasped and adhered to will lead to such and such destination in other world. So whoever people who are harboring these wrong views have these kind of destinations, because they have their thought process, their conclusions, their behavior are based on these wrong views, and this is how they'll be reborn ultimately because of those wrong views. This the Buddha knows, and more than that also Buddha knows, because these people have only a limited understanding. So Buddha has the complete understanding. So as a result of that, he is not attached to these wrong views, and his mind is peaceful. He is not grasping any of these. His mind is completely peaceful, liberated. He understood the properly things, and here monks are those matters which are profound, hard to see, hard to understand, peaceful, excellent, beyond mere thought, subtle, to be experienced by the wise, which the Tathagata, having realized from by his own wisdom, super knowledge, proclaims. So you can see where the Buddha needs to be praised. Because you can recognize how people can go wrong, and how can they get trapped, entangled in wrong views, even though they have given up all the worldly pleasures. They are completely dedicated for the spiritual life, but unfortunately get entangled. Unfortunately get trapped and come up with wrong views. And most of them are very good meditators. They are able to develop jhana. They are able to develop a thorough concentration, but ultimately come to a wrong conclusion. But Buddha, on the other hand, has developed all that, has gone beyond all that. He didn't grasp any of these wrong views. His mind is liberated. So that is one profound point. Buddha to be praised. Not telling that he is not killing animals, or not stealing, not involved with sex, or not doing any kind of harmful activity. So these are obvious, trivial matters to be praised. But these kind of profound things are the real profound base, real profound facts, if someone needs to properly praise the Buddha. Okay, with that I conclude today's sutta teaching session. We were able to cover 8 wrong views explained in this Brahmajala Sutta. And now if you have any question, you can raise your hand.
Are there any questions on your side, Bhante?
No, everybody understood. Several people are here. Several people are here, but all are silent.
Okay, we do have one question from Joseph. Feel free to unmute. Hi, Joseph. We can't seem to hear anything.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can hear you now.
Sorry about that. Hello, Bhante.
Yep.
So, as these would be experiences during the meditation, I'm thinking what I'm taking away from this is that in the meditation, if we're having a deep concentration experience and various ideas, what appear to be deep insights come to the mind, is to not see it as something worth attaching to.
Mm-hmm.
Is to no matter how beautiful, profound, insightful it appears, is to say no, or not get attached.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling that that's the message.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be correct? And to sort of, the Buddha mentions the seeing the feelings as attractive and then perilous and then to be abandoned is to redirect the attention back to a kind of Vedana Nupassana. Would that be a correct?
We don't need to say that you need to go back to Vedana Nupassana. Rather, as you correctly mentioned, so whatever these thoughts come into the mind, visualizations come into the mind, should not be attached with. Now, even Buddha mentioned now, even to his Dhamma, Dhamma Vibhikkave Pahatamba Pageva Adhamma. He simply mentioned, monks, even the Dhamma to be abandoned, let go of, then no point of talking about the Adhamma, the wrong views. So even the Dhamma Buddha ultimately sort of disclaim. So this is the raft, the simile of the raft, probably you can remember. So simply Buddha say, Dhamma is like a raft. It is for you to cross to the other shore. Not for you to grasp, not for you to carry over with on your head. Rather, it is mentioned, proclaimed by the Buddha for a particular purpose. And that's all. You can take the benefit from that, liberate yourself, give up even the Dhamma now. So basically, Buddha does not appreciate us to attach to anything. Sabbe Dhamma Nalang Abhinivesaya. That's another famous statement by the Buddha. So nothing is worthy of attachment. But that doesn't mean that we have to immediately give up the Dhamma. So you know, it is very much like we are climbing a ladder. So when you are climbing a ladder, so you have to strongly hold the upper rung. And then you are coming, once you are moving up, so you are letting go of that holding. And you are catching another rung. So likewise, you are going up and up. Ultimately, you don't need the entire ladder. So Dhamma is very much like that.
That's a wonderful analogy.
Yep.
Of the ladder, right? Also, just in the context of other lectures I've been doing in my secular mindfulness group, I came across a Stephen Batchelor. Maybe you know of him, who's a former Buddhist monk. He wrote the book Buddhism Without Beliefs, and he's promoting a sort of secular Buddhism.
Correct.
And I was reading a critique by Bhikkhu Bodhi on his book, and Bhikkhu was saying how the religious elements of the Buddhism, specifically, for example, like the belief system, which we can't verify, for example, in tonight's talk, the talk of the Deva realm, the Brahma realm, we can't verify that personally.
Mm-hmm.
But Bhikkhu Bodhi was saying how that was still an important, really important part of it, and if we were to take that part away, it would kind of be like you having the raft, but you don't have the compass telling you which direction to go in. I kind of felt that just interesting to when I hear these stories of the Brahmas and the Devas, they sound very much like people.
Correct.
As well, what they're doing. And so I guess it's, are we supposed to take this metaphorically as a reflection of our worldly life, or is really the belief in this other world, which we can't know, this invisible world, is the belief that that is true really essential to understanding the Dhamma that we're hearing?
Interesting question. So basically there are long passages about the discussions with the heavenly beings like God Sakka. Entirely sutta is there, a discussion based on the god Sakka called Sakka Panya Sutta, again in the Digha Nikaya. And there are, in the connected discourses, Devata Sangyutta, where Buddha had discussions with various different celestial beings. And there are even humans, after passed away, they become celestial beings. For example, that the supermost, what we call the, a kind of a very good person, that Anathapindika, who built up the Jethavana monastery. So he passed away and he born in the Tusar realm. So likewise, so many, many stories are there. So in comes to the Dhamma. So these are not permanent gods, by the way. So they are another realm, depending on their past merits. So they are reborn there, and after some time, after completing their lifespan, again they may die from there. And even the Brahmas, based on their merit and based on their concentration, they are reborn either in the first group, second group, third group, fourth group, like that. And even there are some Arupa Brahmas who doesn't have a material body, simply the name, the mind part exist, but still nothing is eternal. So they have developed certain amount of capacity, maybe spiritual power or kind of merit power. Based on that, they are reborn onto these different realms, but they are also impermanent. That's the kind of a view that the Buddhism gives us. Not a creator god, or not a eternal god, not a single god. Rather, they are mini gods. They are separate different realms. Of course, we can't see them, but that doesn't mean that they do not exist. Because if we have to give up all the stories, all the different beautiful suttas, which are discussions between the Buddha and the celestial beings, and monks and the celestial beings, then we are losing a huge part of the Dhamma.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah.
Taruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Taruvan Sarnai.
I'm not seeing any other questions, Bhante.
Yeah, any question from here? Yeah, we have a question from here, yes.
So I have, I don't know whether I'm asking too early this question, because I'm leaving on Sunday. So you are in the middle of this explanation.
Right.
So as per what I have heard, So these 60, there's like 62 traps in Brahmajala Sutra, Buddha mentioning, like whoever in the Sotapatti Marga, in the path, will...
eliminate.
Yeah,
we can say so. Because even now, here we only discussed 8 wrong views. So there we can say he has certain attachment.
Yeah.
So he is grasping a particular view. So grasping particular view is something we can recognize available as a worldling. But when it comes to the what we call a sotapanna, so there are three particular fetters that he may give up. What we call sakkayaditti, the personality view, the vichikicca, the doubt, and then the silabbata paramasa, where he is strongly adhering to rules and rituals, kind of adherences, observances. So the wrong news is another thing we can include here. So sakkayaditti is the one strong ground which leads towards these wrong views. So in order to have a wrong view, there is a considerable affirmation of a self in oneself also, and he is affirming a self in another person also. Now all this here we see, if there is a permanent God, that's a, you know, as a person, as an individual, he's an individual. So that's a kind of affirmation of a sakkayaditti.
Yeah.
So he's considering him as a superpower, him as a person, him as an individual. He's a person. So such kind of thing cannot happen in a sotapanna, because he sees everything is impermanent. All are merely 5 aggregates. So these aggregates are, you know, maybe helping each other, and they are different conditionally arisen. They are not eternal. None of them are eternal. So what we had are the existence of this dependent arising of these 5 aggregates. Currently what we have is also like that. Even if I have in the future, that is also like that. And again, you are extending it to the others also.
Yeah.
Whoever we say gods, whoever we say man, humans or celestial beings, they also are nothing apart from 5 aggregates. So such kind of a view completely destroy all these, what we even discussed today. All the 8 views we just discussed become completely invalid based on the understanding of the Buddha, the Dhamma that he has directed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So therefore, as you said, a Sotapanna can't have any of these. Yeah.
And adding to that, in Lokuswaminansa's, one of the sermons I heard, like...
You please talk louder.
Sorry. So I heard one of the Lokuswaminansa's discussion. He was explaining whoever practicing insight meditation, he will face only 17 these kind of traps. But 45 of them will face by some of the practitioners. I'm just asking.
Yeah. So we'll come to that because
it's too early to ask this.
Because from these 62 wrong views, there are 49 based on meditation.
Yeah.
Entirely 49 based on meditation. So 62 minus 49, how many? 49, 10, 13, no?
Yeah.
13 is apart from meditation. So now even today we discuss 2. Now among these 8, 6 are based on meditation.
Okay.
And 2 are not based on meditation, rather based on contemplation, or we can say logical reasoning.
Okay.
Logical reason. 2 out of 8 are based on logical reasoning. And we'll go through all 62 and come up with the statistics.
Okay.
And so the point is, I can't say that even Vipassana meditator at his early stage is entirely free from all the wrong views. As you said, he has to attain the Sotapanna for him to completely avoid any of these wrong views. Before that, he even can come to a wrong view, isn't it? Now say, for example, Sati, for example. So Sati, the monk called Sati, that is the theme of discussion in the Mahatanha Sankhya Sutta, where he thought, okay, consciousness is permanent. Very much like the last partial, eternal, partial, not eternal view. The body is not eternal, but the consciousness is eternal. So he came to that wrong conclusion, he being a monk.
Yeah.
Then Buddha has to refute it, Buddha has to explain it is not correct. So likewise, people can go wrong. So till they have thorough understanding.
What I heard was like an insight meditator. He go with the wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's having some kind of assurance rather than the concentration practice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So this concentration practice, in the sense, now here all what we have discussed so far are talking about the past lives.
Yeah.
Based on not merely concentration, but rather concentration is developed to a higher level. So they are able to master jhana. Using the mastery of jhana, he is developed one abhinya called the pubbe nivasanusiti jnana.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but point is that pubbe nivasanusiti jnana is limited. He only can see either just one past life, or he only can see, say, 100 past lives, 1,000 past lives, 100,000 past lives. Not a sort of endless kind of past lives.
So based on that, he make a decision.
He made a decision. So Buddha mentioned, now, pubba koti na panyaya. So you can't recognize the beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's
so samsara is like,
as
karma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a very, very long journey that we are in. But it doesn't mean we are eternal either. So we can end the whole thing. That's another thing. So we definitely had many, many past lives, innumerable number of past lives. That is also not a person being, you know, traveling from one to the other, but we are giving supporting conditions at each level to these 5 aggregates, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's now carrying momentum to the next life, next life, next life, next life. But if we thoroughly understand that as a truth in this life, there may be a possibility to, you know, go away from this trap. So we are in a circulation, in a complete circulation in this samsara.
Yeah.
But once you realize the Dhamma, you are cutting off. Something like that.
Yes.
So it's in a way, I mean, that is where we need to understand what a profound understand Buddha had.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So that is why Buddha again and again highlight. So talking his sila is very trivial.
Yeah.
Telling that he is not killing animals, he is not involved with sex, he is not lying, he is not taking intoxicants, or he is not using money. These are not real matters for him to be praised. These are, in a way, obvious things. But the wrong views that can arise in the spiritual realm, spiritual world, and people get trapped, they come to wrong conclusion, and that is what ultimately they preach to the others. Isn't it? The world, the human realm, the other lay people, they believe these people.
Mm-hmm.
They are telling the truth, okay, there's a creator God, there are eternity, all that they proclaim, and the other people will believe, and they fight each other. So those are the areas in that sense. If we thoroughly understand, okay, the Buddha has basically seen the whole picture, the big picture, and he realized, given up everything, liberated.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Thank you,
Yeah. Okay, that's all from our side, Jennifer. Then we'll conclude today's discussion and we'll recite the traditional verses. Uttavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam Sambe deva sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya Akasattha ca bummatta devanaga mahiddika Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam
Akasattha ca bummatta devanaga mahiddika Punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika Punyam tam anumoditva charam rakkantu mam param
Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukhita huntu nyatayo Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukhita huntu nyatayo Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukhita huntu nyatayo Himina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya
Himina
punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya Himina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya
sadu sadu sadu